Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ecology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour. We've got a great show for you tonight on this July the 30th on the West Coast, now July the 31st on the East Coast, and in the Central Time Zone of the United States of America, and all points east of the Atlantic Ocean. We want to welcome all those people that may be and likely are listening on Wind Talkers Radio Network and on the Internet on Blog Talk Radio. It's nice having everyone with us, especially those in the U.S. military, particularly because of tonight's guest. He hosts his own show on the aforementioned networks, and he is known throughout the world. Amongst his fellow Marines, he was introduced to me some months ago, and we hit it off right away. We've been working together to shine the light of the truth on the darkness of the lies and the evil. And we want to welcome all those out there in the NSA, Secret Service, or other agencies that may be tuning in tonight. Listen, you might learn something. With that, I welcome the host of A Marine's Disquisition and also the web host of amd.elequity.com, my good friend, Drew Malone Raines III. Drew, welcome to the show.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. And all those independent radio networks out there at Wind Talkers Radio Network, we salute you, sir. To let you know that, excuse me.
Where did that come from?
We let you know what's going on around the world. And Wind Talkers is doing their thing to make sure you find out what the truth is to the military around the world, independent radio stations. And we're glad to be here.
Well, I'm glad to be here.
Not tail.
All right. I got to listen to your show today with Bob Chapman of International Forecaster fame, and Colorado Al also. And it's interesting to hear different perspectives of the same thing, and certainly a lot of truth coming out on your show today, not to mention the things that that you've been playing that we don't seem to be hearing on the mainstream media. Aren't you finding it rather interesting how much stuff is out there? And we're not hearing the analysis, let's say. You know, we hear these little tidbits of information to cause us to move into fear and depend on the government to do things for us. And yet when you play it and you talk about it for 5 minutes, it's hilarious, actually. You guys are pretty funny, especially you and Al. you sent me a link earlier this evening that I got kind of late, but I checked it out really fast, and I thought we might begin tonight's show by talking about this. This is kind of interesting that two DeKalb County police officers ran a background check on Barack Obama. And they're on paid administrative leave for having done so. I think I'm not wearing a hat, but if I was, I would take it off and tip it to these two officers.
I have to admit, I sent that to you a couple of hours ago. I forgot for a second there, I forgot about it. But yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. And, it's very intriguing that, two officers of color, looking for the truth, decide that they want to do a background check just like they would normally do a background check on a police officer a recruit, somebody that wants to be an officer for their department. And they got caught doing a background check, and they basically get chastised, put on administrative leave with pay, but they've been taken off the police force in DeKalb County, Florida, for doing their due diligence and saying, you know, I've got some questions about this long lady Mag Daddy.
Yeah, and doesn't that strike you kind of funny that, their reason for doing this was obviously kept out of the article, but what's your feeling on that? Are they sensing the same thing?
I think there's a lot of officers out there in every branch of the country, in every branch of the military, of every race, creed, and color, are now looking at and feeling the same reservations that you and I have felt and had leading up to where we have stood up against this man and that sits in Washington, D.C., controlling the purse strings and the largest, strongest military in the world. And in doing so, these guys are punished because they found something. Obviously, they found something. And they have been sequestered. I made a phone call this afternoon and checked with a Marine recruiter in Florida who double-checked for me. Now, the recruiter was not in DeKalb County.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a lot of recruiters down there, so you guys, you don't know exactly which one he is. He did his due diligence and checked this, situation out and found out that these officers, immediate supervisors are also of color. And, now the Marine is now starting to wonder, and he was not up until today, never had a problem with serving whoever sits in office in Washington, D.C. But now he's got a problem, and it's people that are coming out and finding out, wait a minute here, this guy controls us, the military, and the military is the heart and soul of America, and they do their bidding not for any group or political party. They do their duty for the nation, for the good of the nation. We could care less who sits in Washington, D.C. in the high office. But now there are military people that are questioning and thinking, you know, we've got military men dying in two different countries of the world in open battlefields. And we have got a right, we have a duty, we have a standing as police officers, as military, to know if we're doing the honorable thing. And now they're asking questions, are we doing the honorable thing? And the number of deaths that are actually happening in Afghanistan are not being told to the American people.
Mm-hmm. That's true, and you and I and others on this show have talked about that, and I know you've talked about that ad nauseum on your show, and of course the mainstream media and the Pentagon, working hand in hand, do not tell the truth about the fatalities, about the injuries. You know, if they ship a wounded soldier, maybe to Ramstein Air Force Base in Germany, and they die there, they don't count that as a battle death, do they?
No, and we have actual proof that in two instances where military Marines, i.e. Marines specifically, died on helicopters. And because they died on helicopters, they weren't considered Iraqi casualties of death. And for the statistical side.
Mm-hmm.
The family's got the death benefits because he did die at battle, but the statistics did not show any battle deaths for 10 days in which these two Marines died in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we were able to ascertain for a fact that these Joint Chiefs of Staff, these men that sit in Washington, D.C., who have never been in combat, who have never known the stench of battle or death, or put their lives on the line but walk around with all of their glory uniforms, and yeah, they've got medals. They got medals all over them, but they've never been in battle. They've never been in a heated conflict zone. People, you got to understand, at one point back in the 1800s, the leaders in Washington, D.C. decided that it was better to give medals out than it would be to give money and tell the truth. And they needed to put medals out to keep people to stay in the military. We didn't have a draft before World War One. We didn't have a draft in World War One. Believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, there was no draft until World War Two. And that's something that most Americans don't think about. Now, World War II started the draft in 1941, but there was never an upheaval until the Vietnam War, when young men, 17, 18 years old, across America, in small communities, in small towns, mostly in California, mostly in New York, mostly in Illinois, burned their draft cards. And a lot of them went to jail. And they were sent to jail for destroying government property. What was the government property? Their draft cards. We've come a long way from the days of Vietnam in which I volunteered to go to the Marine Corps. I volunteered and gave 10 years of my life to the Marine Corps. And 10 years ain't nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's 10 years of my youngest years of my life, where most people are out putting a name on a corporation to build their name up. I started 10 years late.
And it's 10 years of facing death right down the throat. You know.
And a lot of my friends did not come home. Trey Prather, number one on my hit parade. Probably, and accordingly to many men that was ever around Trey Prather, know for a fact he was a better man, a better football player, a better quarterback than many Americans never know about. Everybody hears about the greatest quarterback in Pittsburgh history, but they don't ever hear about the fact that he was second string to Trey Prather.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. What kind of, you know, how can life change? People say, well, you know, I sure would like to go back in history and change things, or go back in history and do that all over again. Well, how about going back in history and say, Trey, don't join the Marine Corps. Don't go to Vietnam because you're not going to come back. What would Trey Prather say to you? He would probably say, sir, no sir, I'm going because I love America, and I'm going because I'm doing the right thing for America. But that was the thing that those of us in the South believed in. Most of us in the South, men in the South, both men of all races, believe in this nation and believe in our government and believe in liberty and national honor.
Yeah.
But we are being lied to.
Yeah.
My great-great-uncle, Major General Smedley Darlington Butler, wrote a treatise, War is a Racket. And he discussed the fact that we were buying stuff, and I say stuff, military items, that were obsolete in 1926 and stockpiling it. in 1932, stockpiling wagons to be pulled by mules, and Major General Smedley Arms and Buller said, you know, noticed that right then, the next war was not going to need wagons with mules. But wagons with mules were basically almost obsolete in World War One, and became obsolete in World War Two. Yet, how many people know that $3 million worth of wagons were built by wagon companies around the United States, and specifically one company, and sold to the United States government and stockpiled at what we would call today Marine Reserve or Reserve Barracks, both Army and Navy and Marine Corps.
Yeah.
And well, now, we're running out of bullets all across America. The civilian population cannot get their hands on bullets. What's going on out there, Don? We've got manufacturers manufacturing bullets at 24/7 across this nation, but bullets are disappearing from the store shelves of gun dealers across America.
Well, that's obvious, and we'll get into that in a minute. I want to shift gears for a second because we're going to tie all this together. And I spent some time today thinking about some reasons why we're at war in different parts of the world. And if I look at some events that sort of preceded and coincided with why we're in Iraq and Afghanistan right now, I think you and the listening audience will find this information kind of interesting. You know, we talk about the Illuminati and their symbolism and how they pull the strings of the shadow government, and it ties into what you were just talking about, that war is a racket, and that under the pretext of terrorism, there are signs. And I went and did a little bit of research today on some dates, because we all remember these events, and yet we don't really look at the dates, the time that these things are happening, because the knowledge, you know, knowledge is power. And information is also power when it's used and understood properly. So if I can take a couple of minutes here and read off some things, and you folks may want to take notes while you're listening, because I'm going to be reading some numbers. But trust that I did the math. It's actually basic arithmetic. And either using my intuition or my research capabilities, I arrived at some conclusions as to the symbology behind some events. But it, if it's not symbolism, then it's the number identifies the perpetrator or the motive behind it, according to a particular person's associationship or association with these events. And I'm not going to name too many of them, but most of you will be familiar with these. And there's some significance in the symbology of the numerology used by the evil ones. February 26th, 1993, the first World Trade Center bomb blast, which struck the Secret Service parking lot in the lower level of the World Trade Center. The real perpetrators were not punished, although we heard about arrests, and they had arrested some so-called Islamic extremists. The numerology of February 26, 1993 works out to a 28 for the month and the day, and a 22 for the year. Now, you'll see a pattern here, because they use the month and the date as the first number, and the second number is derived by just combining, not adding, but putting the numbers in the year next to each other. A 28 plus 22 equals 50. That happens to be the number of states in the United States. April 19th, 1993, the Waco, Texas attack, bombing and murder of the Branch Davidians and David Koresh. Those numbers work out to 4 plus 19 plus 23, or I should say equals 23, and 1993 equals out to a 22. 23 plus 22 is 45. 45 is a caliber, a certain type of caliber known as a Colt 45. Interstate 45 is the highway between Dallas and Houston. And also, 45 is holds some significance going back to 1745, which was the year of the Jacobite Rising. And this involved the House of Stuart. Now, October 12th, 2000, this is an interesting date here, because it doesn't come up just once. October 12th is in here twice. We had the USS Cole terrorist, and I put that in quotes, bombing. And I recall Bill Clinton saying something to the effect that we will find the perpetrators responsible for this horrific act. And, of course, the real perpetrators were not punished. The numerology on that event, October 12th, works out to a 22. And the year 2000 is a 20 or a 2, but in this case, it's intended to be a 20. 22 plus 20 equals 42. Bill Clinton was the 42nd U.S. president. Is that a coincidence? Well, let's look further. September 11th, 2001, the World Trade Center attacks, blamed on 19 box-cutter-wielding Muslim hijackers. One who was able to get rid of his passport several blocks from the World Trade Center before he flew the plane into the building. 9 plus 11 is 20. 2001, you have a 2 and a 1 or a 21. 20 plus 21 equals 41. George H.W. Bush was the 41st U.S. president. Now, what's interesting is it's alleged that Ambassador Leo Wanta of Wantagate fame was aware of 9/11 and that he was imprisoned to keep him quiet about it, that he couldn't get to anyone. And he knew that George H.W. Bush was behind it. It's here in the numerology, folks. October 12th, 2002, the Bali nightclub bombing, which killed 202 people. The numbers on that. Again, we have Columbus Day, by the way. 10 plus 12 is 22, or a 4, but in this case, it's intended to be a 22. The year 2002 also works out to either a 4, or in this case, a 22. 22 plus 22 equals 44. And I ask you, who is the 4th president of the United States, 44th president of the United States? July 7th, the London, 2005, the London bus and tube bombings. That's 3 7s. You have 777. Definite numerology of the Illuminati in that one. The 7 plus 7 works out to a 14. The 2 and the 5 could either be a 25, but in this case, it wasn't the same people doing the numerology. And I pick up a 7. And so 14 plus 7 is 21. 21 is the number which designates exemption for military service in Israel. Are these just coincidences? I think so. And, of course, I could spend more time looking at historical events, but these were the conclusions that I drew from this information, and most likely what these terrorist events represented. We know that great planning is behind this, and I know of no Muslims, to tell you the truth, and I know quite a few Muslims. I know of none that use numerology. This is a work of those that do satanic ritual and use the power of evil to accomplish their deeds. Drew, how do these facts strike you?
Well, I'm glad to know that somebody out there can put things together and show that it's all laid out in a plan. I just wish that we had more people out here that would pay attention to what you've got to say and what others have to say. I'm sure that you aren't just the only person out there looking at it, because I hear these tidbits all the time, and yet it's like everybody is being dumbed down. And why? I mean, where are they getting their dumb, their stupid pill? What? Where's the stupid pill factory out there? Is it all? Is it the fluoride in the water? Obviously, it's got to be something.
Or it's the fluoride in the boob tube. It's got to be one or the other.
And that's something that people like Colorado now and I don't have. We don't have the boob tube, and our water is water well water.
Yeah, I hear you there. I thought this would be an interesting way to sort of tie these things together because, you know, the numerology doesn't work out this way by accident. And these numbers can be interpreted different ways, but when I use the same system, I get the same types of results. It's interesting that the numbers 41, 42, and 44, come into play. Now you could say, well, where's 43? We could probably look at a few things there and see him involved, but Daddy Bush was really running the show along with Cheney when 43 was in there. No doubt about that. In all actuality,
George Herbert Walker has been in charge of the shadow government since he took command of the Central Intelligence Agency in the 1970s.
Mm-hmm. And the Dachau DVD, which is the old German SS, otherwise known as the Abwehr.
Right.
And that's what they set up here in Oklahoma in 1947 when they moved forward with Operation Paperclip. They don't like us talking about this, but this has been written about by many authors and journalists and researchers. This is no big secret. They just don't like the fact that this young generation, is hearing this today. Because they're getting a lot of propaganda in school and in church and through the media, and they don't want the truth to come out anymore. That seems to be the theme here. And it's sickening. You should be glad you don't have TV. It's sickening to hear the things that come my way from people that do a lot of TV watching, and they reference what's being said on Fox News or MSNBC. And on occasion, I will just check out what they're talking about. You know, where's the propaganda focused today? And inevitably, they're still talking about Michael Jackson and you know, is it murder? Well, it seems rather slow to have a murder investigation take over a month, doesn't it? I mean, they're milking this thing for money. It's obvious, and it's a good distraction.
Well, the latest thing that came about through my investigation, and believe it or not, I wasn't investigating. It's just when I do the news and views on a daily basis, the story that's been popping up this afternoon and this evening was the fact that Michael Jackson's children are now in the hands of his mother, and therefore she's going to get the control of at least. We know of an additional $5 million of his estate has showed up from where? I mean, out of nowhere, an investment banker shows up to the front door to the courthouse with $5 million.
Yeah, and they said he was in debt over $400 million or something
yeah.
like that.
The insurance policies that he had took care of the $400 million he was in debt, so this $5 million now is turned over to the raising of the children. And, what kind of a payoff is going on here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it raises a lot of questions. And, not that we have to go into that as a topic other than it's being used.
Oh, please don't. I mean, there's other things to talk about, Guy.
Yes. Yeah, I'm just saying they're using that as a way to further dumb down the people that are very soon going to be affected by all the stuff that we're talking about. And certainly what's interesting about like this Bali bombing and the number 44 working out, let's throw in a fact. I found this evening. I did a little research. Do you know about the time frame the book Dreams for My Father was written? Have you studied that?
Oh, I've not looked into that book at all. I've stayed away from it, to be quite honest with you. Some of the Marines that did buy it that were pro Obama, they saw so many lies in it themselves without doing any decent research. They said it was a waste of time, so I never even bothered to look at anything about it.
Yeah, I read choice clips that were posted, you know, in various places where I, you know, was doing my research, and they were, you know, I looked for accuracy in the quotes and that when I. Then I looked for accuracy in the facts, in the quotes. And,
hey,
and
when enlisted Marines get together and start sharing information that about the quote about the book being dishonest, you know the book is filled with dishonesty.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the book was published in 1995. Now, sometime before it was published, it was written in a particular place. We were told Obama was with Michelle at Sidley Austin, right? She was being trained, or he was being trained by her. And we know simultaneously he was working with the Judson Minor law firm. Actually, there's four partners in that. I don't recall all the names, but it's not important. That was the law firm that Tony Resco, the convicted Syrian real estate developer, had retained to do his legal work. And Obama had worked on hundreds of transactions for him. Now, what's interesting is he was able to go away to write the book. Guess where he went to write that book and spent at least 3 months there?
In Southeast Asia?
Yeah,
or in Kenya?
No, not Kenya. He was in Bali.
Well, that's Bali, Southeast Asia.
Yeah, Bali, Indonesia. You remember that name coming up very recently on a
mm-hmm.
couple of shows, that place.
Well, I thought we already ascertained that Bali was where he was actually born.
Well, we'll say there is a record of his birth in Bali, okay?
Right.
And, you know, hide it as they may, presume if we know that hiding it's not going to do any good, is it?
There's always going to be a paper trail somewhere.
Yeah, there's a trail, okay? There's enough of a trail that I know that he wrote the book in Bali, okay? No, someone in Bali would not make that claim unless it were true. Just like, you know, someone in Kenya would not make the claim he was born there, and those in Hawaii would not make the claim if he was born there, okay? What does that tell you?
Well, there's one thing out there that most people don't understand. When you travel, especially by air, there's a paper trail of how you travel. That paper trail is literally put in boxes and stored for years. And if you've got the investigative team, you can go back and look at people that got on planes and off planes in Hawaii 50 years ago. And what's unique about that is, you mean somebody just IM me and says, you mean, Drew, don't forget about the paper trail with United Airlines. Ladies and gentlemen, in 1961, there was only three airlines servicing Hawaii. United Airlines and Pan American Airlines were the only international airlines in the world that serviced Hawaii on a daily basis. And so Obama is supposed to be born there, but we can't find a ticket of the so-called mother flying in or flying out of.
Well, maybe
we know she wasn't in. She was not in Hawaii when he was born, supposedly by her, because there's a record of her leaving Hawaii and going to Southeast Asia.
Yeah, but she was at the University of Washington when she claims to have been at Hawaii.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you dug that up, but it wasn't hard for you to do that. So there's a lot of rabbit holes that are being dug up and uncovered, mm-hmm. and the powers to be in Washington and the powers to be wherever are doing their due diligence in their realm of evil to keep those of us that are looking for the truth and doing our due diligence to bring out the truth. They're coming at us left and right to prevent it. And just like these two officers down in DeKalb County, Florida, what were they doing? I mean, so they're doing a background check. Okay, you're doing a simple background check, and you lose you're on the verge of losing your job. Wait a minute here. I got four officers in Florida that plotted an operation in which they were going to get a young woman, 23, put in jail for DUI because one of the officers ran into the back of her car. And they're going to spin the story that the lady was guilty of DUI or she was in careless and reckless driving. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't think that doesn't go on across America? It does, and these guys were caught on camera and taped, and it's been played not only on my show, but I found out today, just today, before my show, it was played on Fox News today. We don't have morals in America in law enforcement anymore. Law enforcement has gotten so corrupt, all they care about is power and covering up the truth. It's somewhere along the line, we've got to take our nation back. And, Don, I have no idea how we're going to do it without a mass loss of life.
Mm-hmm. Not to change the subject, I want to go back to what you were talking about. You named Pan Am, okay? I'll vouch for that. Guess who owned Pan Am? One of the founders of Pan Am was.
Oh, I've never gone into looking for that.
William Rockefeller.
Oh, really? Why am I not surprised?
Okay, so you had Lawrence Rockefeller, I believe it was, that had a major ownership of Eastern Airlines, and who's the military contractor I'm trying to think of now? It'll come to me. But
you talk about Boeing?
No, it was...
Rockwell, I mean...
It'll come to me. I wrote about it. There's just so many facts right now. It's escaping me. But it's something... I may be misspeaking, but it may be Northrop, if I remember. It's, or McDonnell Douglas, I think.
McDonnell Douglas and Northrop and Boeing were the big aircraft manufacturers. And there was one other one... I can't think of their name, but they were located in lower LA.
Yeah, I think it's McDonnell Douglas. Okay. Anyway, so there you have it again. Now, guess what? There was a pandemic.
Oh, I just got a correction. It's DeKalb County, Georgia.
Oh, is it? Or DeKalb. DeKalb.
DeKalb, yeah.
Okay. Georgia. Well, it's DeKalb County. I didn't name the state because I didn't know what the state.
And I called a Marine recruiter in Florida, and he was able to ascertain it was DeKalb County in Georgia, not Florida. I didn't know that.
Okay.
And I got another former Marine that corrects me. But that's what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen. Those of us, when we misspeak and put things, we always have a Marine out there that's going to pay attention and correct us. And that's what's so good about the Corps. The fact that we're not ashamed to stand up and say, hey, we made a mistake.
Yeah. Now, a couple of nights ago, maybe it was even, you know, at the beginning of the week. I don't remember the exact day, but there were reports of trains moving west. And I got a text message to just put out an announcement to have people take pictures. You have cameras, they're made to take pictures, and, you know, as far as I know, you can take a picture of whatever you want to. And nighttime's a good time to take pictures, especially around railroads. and railroad tracks. And if you hear a train coming and you got your camera handy, take some pictures. Particularly look for some flatbeds, cars, flatbed cars with Humvees and artillery and all that. And I got one update, Drew, that we know that some of these trains are going into underground bases. And so they're dumping off our paid-for equipment, our military equipment that we pay for, unless they want to take credit for paying for it through the drug money that they get from smuggling.
Wait a minute. All these underground bases are paid for with our money.
Even
the equipment to do the underground tunnels is with our money. To build these bases, and yet we're not being told about them. They come out and they say, well, we can't talk about that because that's national security. Well, wait a minute. National security on underground equipment that is used to drill a hole underground a quarter of a mile underneath the surface of the earth, and the hole is a tunnel, and the tunnel is a little over 3 18-wheelers in height. I got a big time problem when you got a 13-6 trailer, 18-wheeler, and three of them. Now, sir, you take 13-6, ladies and gentlemen, a trailer, an 18-wheeler that's got a height of 13 feet 6 inches, and you run it out there where you can put three of them together. We're talking about a little over 40 feet, 40 feet. A tunnel 40 feet in diameter. You can put an upstairs and a downstairs and run a lot of Humvees and a lot of military equipment. You can actually put a Sherman tank in there with no problem, much less an Abram tank of today's vernacular. An Abram tank will run through those tunnels at 40 miles an hour with no problem.
Mm-hmm. Now these vehicles I'm describing, Drew, have been seen with UN logos on them. This is confirmed. Okay, so...
Well, see, that was one of the things that Marianne Ponder was doing for me up in northern Arkansas, and she was checking out railroad traffic, because she lived right close to one of the major east-west railroads in Walnut Ridge, Arkansas, and she was constantly on the phone calling me up and witnessing troop movements, as well as rail cars that were designed to run automobiles in, but can be easily changed over to put bodies, i.e. human people, as prison cars.
Yeah. Well, we're not trying to fearmonger here, but we're just, and we know where this base is, too. That's the great thing.
I have an IM here that tells me that, Mr. Nikoloff, how many underground bases do you and Drew feel are in the United States?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, in 1995, there were probably 125 to 130, if not more.
Now, that puts about 2 to 3 per state, average.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you wonder how many there are in Hawaii. It's probably sealed, or they're probably sealed, aren't they?
Yeah, and just think about it. I've got an IM here that says, building a tunnel from one base to another, I'm under the impression that the tunneling machines didn't move very fast.
Oh.
Hey, guy, when you're building a tunnel that's beneath the surface a quarter of a mile and the machine's rolling at 5 miles an hour, stop and think about it. In one day at 5 miles an hour, The sucker's going to go 100 miles. And guess what? That's a straight line. So, and these machines have been around, and there have been six confirmed built six machines built for the United States Air Force. And they drill holes under the surface of the Earth, and there are six machines that were built by the United States Air Force. The first one built in 1971. I think they could build a few underground bases if they have a machine that can build a tunnel that's got a diameter of 40 feet. Obviously, Don, am I missing the boat here? If the machine can dig a tunnel a quarter of a mile under the earth at 5 miles an hour, they could quite practically put one or two or even three tunnels all the way to Hawaii and back.
Yeah, well, there's been speculation and there's probably documentation that they have built these under the oceans and interconnecting different countries as well, you know, on the other side of the earth. Despite what they tell you in the media, this stuff goes on. Now, that machine, so people can understand how this is done, they're not digging dirt and taking it out in dump trucks and depositing it somewhere. This is a nuclear-powered machine that basically turns the walls to glass. It melts the rock and everything in it, and it turns it to a shiny glass finish. And even in some cases, there have been accounts that the walls in places are multidimensional, and they defy the physics that we have in a three-dimensional world. So this is high technology of a sort. But it's been around for a while.
You just answered the question to about six IMs coming in from some Air Force personnel saying, where do they get the fuel to feed these things? A nuclear power doesn't require fuel.
Yeah. And those were, my understanding is they were developed by the RAND Corporation, but they do have the Air Force logo on them. And if you see one of these devices with human beings, full-grown men, I don't even care if they're large men, it dwarfs them. They look like insects next to these things. They're huge.
And guys, if you want a picture, all you got to do is I've got archives on my website, the 3Ws, amd.elequity, with the pictures of those suckers on my website on several of my news presentations dating back 3 years. So you just have to do a little research up there and just go to the archives and just look, because the pictures are there. And I'll probably use them again here within the next few days as a photograph on top of the news and views that I put out, because it's getting more and more prevalent that these bases are hot spots. Because we do have confirmation that there's a lot of military equipment going close to these places that Don Nikoloff has uncovered. And all of a sudden, where does a train load of Humvees, 40 Humvees, distinctly moving from east to west, and it gets to a certain point, and then all of a sudden the train disappears. It's not on the tracks anymore. It's gone.
Mm-hmm.
You have to understand something, guys. You just don't take something and put it in the second dimension. If it's sitting on a rail track, it's a three-dimensional machine. It just doesn't go into another dimension without something happening here. And obviously, it's being taken underground and stashed. Or is it really being stashed? Are they moving men underground? That's the question.
Yeah.
Are we moving men underground? Are anybody's husbands, wives, sisters, brothers, cousins, aunts, uncles not reporting home? Are they not writing home? And then, it amazes me that this is going on, and yet we don't have anybody talking about it. And why aren't we having anybody talk about it?
Yeah, well, that's why I'm bringing it up, to talk about it. You know, we have a right to know what's going on in this country, and if we see something and we know something, you know, I mean, we're going to tell the truth. It's simple.
And everything that we look into out there, it's mind-boggling. You know, Don, back in the days of honest, I shouldn't even say back in the days of honesty. We haven't had honesty in government in a long time. But let's go back into the days of John Fitzgerald Kennedy. You very seldom ever heard mention of hundreds of millions of dollars. And today, the newspapers and the banking system around the United States throws out the term billions of dollars like it's an everyday occurrence.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Drew, I'm going to interrupt you for a second, but don't lose that thought, okay? We'll come back to it. We've got a caller on the line. Jane?
I don't take calls.
Is it Jane? We welcome,
Jane,
Kevin.
From Arizona. I was listening to you guys talking about the underground tunnels, and on YouTube, there's a video about a guy in, I think, 95, who was talking about the underground tunnels and showed a map of them.
Phil Schneider, yes.
I think so. I can't remember his name. Anyways, he was killed a year after that.
Philip Schneider.
Yeah. And anyways, it's a series of videos on S4 in Area 51. And volume one, the eighth video, is him talking, and he shows the map of the underground tunnels.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting.
He was involved in the Dulce base shootout where they sent some special forces in there. They sent him there under the pretext of doing some, let's say, examination of the rock structure. He drilled some holes and put some explosives down there and ended up going below the seventh level. Now, according to Phil and others who have researched the Dulce base, the sixth and seventh levels were used by reptilians. And he was told to go down there because he was going to do an expansion of that facility, and when he sent a camera down there to take a look at the rock to see what kind of explosives and what success he was having down there, the camera basically was destroyed when he pulled it back up. He sent another camera down there, and the same thing happened again. So he went down with some men, and he was armed with a pistol, and he got into a firefight. He walked into a nest of grays. And they sent these special forces down there. Now, I was on Coast to Coast on George Norrie's fifth anniversary show. And that night, Linda Moulton Howe was on there. And I addressed this issue because she was talking about Roswell and that she had another witness to Roswell. And I brought up the issue of the Dulce base and the Cape Girardeau crash, which I was a psychic investigator on. And I know that I found the location of that 41 crash, and I brought that up. And then I brought up the Dulce base, and I said, why don't you ever talk about the Dulce base and what's gone on there? Well, you know, she sort of poo-pooed the reality of that base. But what was interesting is when they went to the next hour, the first caller was the wife of the guy that they put in prison in California after that to keep him quiet. He was one of the survivors of that firefight, and she had seen the plans for the attack on his desk the night before it happened. So I was vindicated by that call. And I thought I'd just mention that to you because Phil came out with a lot of information about how many billions, even trillions of dollars were being spent on building these bases. So, do you have
amazing.
A question for Drew by any chance?
Not really. I've been listening to your show and gone to your website and his website, and I'm trying to get out information. I did send you an email with an open letter to Congress that I wrote, and I'm getting ready this weekend to send that out to Congress. I'm just very, very concerned also, and I have to do what my forefathers did,
mm-hmm.
and that looks like fight in whatever way I can, and what I mean by that is just fight by getting the information out to people and doing what I can do to take back our country.
We all have to do something, that's for sure.
Yeah, and just connecting with other people. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, what you're doing is, and what Drew's doing and everyone else is totally appreciated. I read all your articles, The Three Stooges Go to Washington. I'm in the process of writing an email to friends and getting that information out. It's scary, but we got to remember to, you know, call on inner resources and trust in the power of God. That's all we can do.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's not
Amen.
All we can do, but, you know, we have to look to the light and the truth. So.
And I'm glad that the listeners out there that are listening to you right now, they all need to take pride in the fact that there's a lot of women out there that's got a little bit more guts than most of the guys do in doing exactly what you're doing, ma'am, and that is getting involved in networking with your friends and bringing the sheeple together. And I personally would like to thank you for what you're doing.
Well, yeah,
thank you.
Jane, I wanted to say that I got your email today, although I see you wrote it several days ago. So
mm-hmm.
you didn't send it by the post office, though.
I just wanted you to know I'm real people living in the desert in Arizona and just very, very, very concerned. And, I don't know how we're going to do it, but I've talked to some other friends who are very concerned. One being a black man and, aware of the, as I call it, the secret government underneath the government. And, we have to take it back, you know. We have to take our country back.
Yeah, we've got to put our foot down, and you're doing the right thing. I'm going to make sure Drew gets to read what you wrote, and you ought to get some people to stand beside you there. You know, not behind you, not in front of you, but beside you. And we all need to be
working
doing
on that. You know,
mm-hmm.
and at the end of my letter, I said, you know, if something happens to me. A lot of people know. And if something happens to me, I look at it this way. Maybe people I know and their friends will wake up. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I understand what you mean. But you trust God and put your faith in God, and He will take care of you.
Totally.
You know, it's a simple, it's a done deal. Once you put your life in God's hands, it's a done deal.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ever lose faith.
And I've done that.
Okay.
So, anyways, thank you very, very, very much. And blessings to you all. In truth, we are.
Amen. And thank you for your call and for your efforts, Jane. Thank you very much.
You.
And you call in again, too.
Okay, will do.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, Drew, you said it.
Well, that's a deep subject.
It is. So, again, we put that call out there for folks that have cameras. You know, they're made for taking pictures. And certainly if you're listening to trains at night, check them out. Tell us what's going on. pictures help because we can certainly see what's going on. This is there's nothing normal about this. You know, we have this World Health Organization telling us that we have a pandemic and we have to have vaccinations, and no, we don't. You know, you take mine.
That's that. You talking about the WHO flu?
Yeah, the WHO flu. And
no. Vaccinations are evil and bad for you. And doctors, medical doctors, quotes on my News and Views have listed quotes from medical doctors, world-renowned microbiologists who have been murdered in the last 10 years, that have written books, and in their books it states that vaccinations have never prevented any disease in the known history of vaccinations. All of the whooping cough, the vaccination that was supposed to come out and prevent whooping cough was almost eradicated before the children in America started getting vaccinations. Polio was almost eradicated completely before the polio vaccine by Salk came about. And Salk himself actually came out in 1986 and made comments that the vaccination did not prevent polio at all in any cases whatsoever, and that 90% of all polio victims after 1953 contacted polio because of the polio vaccination.
Mm-hmm. Now there is this vaccine for hydrophobia, otherwise known as rabies. Now, you know, when someone, it's painful.
That's Louis Pasteur's remedy for rabies, and it does work. But it's not administered normally in the arm, and it's 15 shots, and it goes directly in the belly.
Yeah, I heard it's as much as 28 shots, but it goes
directly in your belly, and it's very, very painful.
Yeah,
it doesn't you really don't want to go through it. It's probably one of the most painful shots you'll ever get in your entire life. But it does, and it's really not a vaccination. That's a misnomer.
Yeah,
they call it a vaccination, but it's not used. It's not given to you, and then you go out and get bit by a rabid animal. It's used after you've been bit by a rabid animal.
Mm-hmm. What's interesting is this disease came about. At least the term for it came about in the 16th century. You're talking about the 1500s, you know. That's it plays into even the information that General Jeremiah gave us when he mentioned that this particular group that's in control of the planet right now has been around here for about 500 years. That takes us right into that time frame. So we can see the intentional disease being put upon us, then the poisoning of our environment, the toxifying of our foods, and the toxicity sprayed in our skies.
See, that rhymes directly with the sailors in the Spanish Armada that came across cures in South America, cures for hello, Drew. I was going to bring it up for venereal diseases. It's been, you know, that history is being hidden by the Vatican, and the knowledge of those cures and the other cures that sailors that traveled, military men that fought for the Spanish Armada in South America, the conquistadors, they ran across, hundreds of, cures in herbal remedies in South America, and sent them back to the Queen of Spain, and they've been lost in history because, you know, nobody's reading the old Spanish Armada books except those that are seeking gold and treasure from the boats, that the massive amount of boats that are disappeared taking stolen goods from South America and being sent back to Spain. And people don't understand that you know, Spain had over 5,000 vessels at one time in 1 year. And out of the, they didn't lose one or two. They were losing 30 and 40 vessels a year laden with gold and silver and other treasures from the Americas. And it wasn't, and a lot of you people don't understand, Spain at one time controlled Florida, all of Florida, most of southern Alabama, most of southern Mississippi, most of southern Louisiana, all of the southern part, southern half of Texas. You have to understand that, at one time Spain controlled over a third of what we call the United States today. We're not being taught the truth anymore, Don.
Mm-hmm.
And we're being lied to consistently. We go back to what I was saying just before Jane called.
Yeah, you were talking about the trillions.
I didn't mention trillions.
Well, no.
I mentioned billions, and you hardly ever heard the term billion in the 1960s.
Mm-hmm.
It was not even thought of. And I remember the first time I heard the term trillion in the 1960s in high school. And the teacher that brought it forth, the math teacher, said that the term trillion is the next number and quadrillion is the next number after that. But it's doubtful that that will be a used term in our language in our lifetime. And here we are today when just a short 40 years ago, hundreds of millions of dollars were brought out, and people, you know, eyes went all over the place. Now we're talking about $175 billion of taxpayer money. $175 billion in taxpayer money to bail out the banks of the United States? Can you imagine what, ladies and gentlemen, $175 billion. That's 1,000 millions for a billion. 1,000 millions for a billion. Multiply 1,000 billions, 1,000 millions times 175. We're talking about 175 million millionaires. 175 million. How many? There's only 300 million in the United States population, man, woman, child, and period. It's not paper money anymore, ladies and gentlemen. Money isn't. It's not what they're fighting for. What it's all about is control. And your taxpayers are being thrown away. Your taxpaying money is being thrown out the window. Just take a look at the $175 billion in taxpayer funds that are bailed the banks out and look at what happened. The Attorney General in New York, Andrew Cuomo, came out with his report that uncovered that $32.6 billion was paid by the bankers, the bank heisters, as bonuses of the $175 billion that they got from your money to keep them from failing. And they come out and they are using $32 billion for bonuses?
Yes. And the issue behind the bailout is payoffs internationally and getting good, clean capital back into their Ponzi schemes. That's basically all it is.
Well, you know, it goes back to the point where, Don, you look at when the banks did well, their employees, you know, were paid well. But when the banks did poorly, the employees were paid well. And when the banks did very poor and were folding, their employees were still paid well. And the bonuses came in. They still got their paid well money. There's a problem here. Yeah, if it was me or you and we had a company and we ran the company in the dirt, the company closed.
Not
in the banking industry.
And the company would probably be sued, too, you know.
Exactly. And They would go after your house, your car, and your personal effects.
No,
They did it with O.J. Simpson. Okay, they went after his house and car. That's why his house, he owned his house in Florida, because Florida has a state statute law that prevents anybody that's being sued from losing their domicile home. Well, O.J. Simpson had a domicile home. Granted, it was a mansion. Granted, it was worth $5 million, but they still couldn't take it away from him because it was his home. Know what's happened to our society, Don.
Yeah. They found a way to get at him, though, you know, stealing all his memorabilia and then letting him know where it was. And, you know, they set him up to take a fall just to get him out of the way because of what he knew. And it's the same old story. You see, this is not regular business. This is the intelligence agencies running all of this, running the terrorism, running the corruption, the embezzlement, running these programs to commit genocide around the planet. And that's what they do.
And what can a bank? What can one man that runs a bank gets $100 million? $100 million as a bonus, and yet he is the CEO of Goldman Sachs, and Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, was on the folded on us.
Mm-hmm.
But the CEO gets $100 million in bonuses.
Yeah, that's isn't that called shut up money? I mean, you know, it's seal your lips money, and not disclose the corruption that occurred. I mean,
I have a problem out there, Don, and I don't know when the American people are going to wake up. It amazes me. The eighth grader from 1875 has a better education than most college kids with a piece of sheepskin on the wall today.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I have one good bright point is most of the young people out there are waking up, and they're actually reading the Constitution and passing out the questions about the Constitution, where their parents are walking around with their head up their posterior. Am I out of line here?
No. Actually, I have a I have a more colorful description of what you just described in a very mundane way. So no, you're not. That's probably, you know, that's probably being overly kind, actually, to the parents. I mean, that's. Kids aren't stupid. Of course, like every other walk of life, we've got different kinds of kids, too. You know, we've got the kids that are intentionally being boxed out of opportunity and forced to seek other means of existing. And they're recruited into the drug trade and the sex trade there are no limits as to who they'll hire these days under the pretext of providing security for this country. When you look at the people that work for TSA, they're taking people out of prisons and giving them these jobs. And this is just to control, like you said, and demean the people that use the airlines as a means of transportation. I hope we get to a point where people will just say, no, sir, I'm not flying anymore.
And well, wait a minute. Now you hit a little nerve there, because I did a little background check on TSA employees for the four cities in the South, i.e. Memphis, Tennessee, Little Rock, Arkansas, Tulsa, Oklahoma, and Shreveport, Louisiana. All four of these cities are basically where I live, or own property, or I have personal friends at these cities. And these guys work either for the state troopers or work for the state troopers in one of these states, or they work for the sheriff or county government in one of these states, or the parish government. Specifically in Louisiana, it would be the parish. But I discovered that the TSA officers in all four cities, out of the total number, less than 1% had ever been on a plane and flown anywhere. Less than 1%.
And I bet you a smaller percentage ever owned a suitcase and learned how to open it without ripping it apart.
I didn't get that deep. I just wanted to. We actually got out there and found out, and they looked through the questionnaires and looked at the their resumes, and less than one in 100 actually had flown on a plane in their entire lifetime. One employee in Louisiana, in Shreveport, said that they had traveled extensively by air. And when you look at extensively by air, this guy was 30 years old and had made the comment that on his resume that he had flown on Delta Airlines at least 60 times in his 30 years of life. And when you go and you look at his 30 years of or 30 airline flights, you have to look at the fact that he was from a divorced family. And his father had to pay for the airfare to fly him back and forth from Houston, Texas to Shreveport, Louisiana every 2 weeks. And he was like, he started flying when he was 3. This is a little boy. This isn't somebody that has experience of flying as an adult. It don't make a whole lot of sense, Don. I got Al on the mind tonight.
Well, can you imagine what we'd be going through if they had to, crashed into the World Trade Center on bicycles?
Was there any plane that actually hit the World Trade Center?
Well, I didn't see any in the phony footage I looked at.
I haven't seen any at all.
Yeah.
I mean, I see a lot of pictures of aircraft flying in the air and superimposed over other photographs and other film footage, but I've never seen the first piece of evidence that a plane actually hit the World Trade Center. I've seen the aftermath of aircraft accidents where specifically one that was located up in Nebraska that did a cartwheel across the tarmac, and luggage and plane parts were scattered all over the field.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen the remnants of a plane crash that flew straight into the swamps of the Everglades. And yet there was plenty of parts and aircraft debris and luggage and body parts all over the Everglades.
Mm-hmm.
And there were thousands of, and I literally mean that, there were thousands of rescuers that went into the Everglades when LLM aircraft flew in, and this aircraft was an Eastern Airlines plane, and it was the plane itself was one of the safest aircraft that's ever been built by Boeing, and it was the only aircraft that crashed.
Mm-hmm.
They actually made movies about Ernest Borgnine.
Yeah.
played the pilot in the reoccurrence of ghost images from the parts of that plane that were recovered from the Everglades. So you have to stop and think about with all of that, and then they come out and they tell me that there's no luggage and no body parts from a plane hitting into a field in Pennsylvania that has got hard rock less than 2 feet below the surface of the earth. There's nothing there except a little hole in the ground.
And again, Drew, who owned that lot in
Texas? Oh, yeah. Tell the audience, please.
Rockefeller. Again, the Rockefellers are.
And I've got a DC-10 that flies into. I guess it was a DC-10 that flew into the Pentagon, and yet there's no refuge that is left over from the wings, not even from the tail section. They say it all melted. I got a problem here, ladies and gentlemen. Big time problem.
Yeah, it's absurd what they've told us. Now since we're about out of time here, Drew, I wanted to bring up something.
Wait a minute, I want to let you know I'm out of time. This is my sixth hour of radio today.
Well, I had mine yesterday, so welcome to the club. Since my part 7 of the Three Stooges came out, and I've said this on other shows, but we got some new listeners out there, and I want to provoke people to think, especially those in the military. You know, your lives are on the line over this whole issue. Since part 7 came out, which is a further analysis of photos, but it leads us to the real father of Barack Obama. It raises some questions as to why anyone would fake a death of a person, and that person has the name Rockefeller. That name comes up again with the media, the mainstream media now coming out with the other half of this Hegelian dialectical argument between was Obama born in Hawaii or was he born in Kenya? You know somebody's lying in one or both cases. It's obvious.
Well, yeah, he was born in Bali, so you got a lot of liars.
Okay, so well, we're saying Indonesia, okay, as a general area, not Hawaii, not the United States, and not Kenya. Now, that said, and having looked at and examined documents, and this evening I looked at the adoption papers. And the adoption papers have forged signatures for Stanley Ann. She didn't sign her name S. Ann Dunham and then Stanley Ann Dunham or Stanley A. Dunham. She didn't sign it that way. She signed her name Stanley. Now, if they need a full name, there's a way to do that, but it's not her handwriting. It's obviously a forgery. So that document, it was created to continue the lie, to explain away the disappearance of Stanley Ann Dunham, and likely there was enough of a trail that people would say, what was she doing in Indonesia? So they made up these stories, you see, and everyone is conveniently dead, so you can't do any further research in that area. But so we're connecting the dots the way they appear. Now, just stop, and I want to ask a question of you, Drew. You've studied photography, and you've seen my part 6 of the Three Stooges Go to Washington, which is a photographic analysis of all the media photos that were put out by the Obama campaign, and they're all fraudulent. Now, doesn't that connect with people that if the guy's pictures were faked, then obviously, those things didn't happen, which means those elements of his story are not true. Correct?
Correct. And I got news for you. I haven't found one honest picture of Barack Hussein Obama prior to 1995. Not one.
Yes. Yes, exactly. So you know, look, folks, take a look at part 6 again. Look at those photographs and ask yourself, if this story is true, how can these pictures be so false? It's simple. I didn't fudge these pictures. They did. I didn't create these pictures.
I like the one where you got the pair of legs shooting underneath the chair there, but there's no body that walked around on those legs.
Yeah, that's the Dead Birds film crew in Indonesia. Isn't that something? Yes. It.
I mean, that one above all of them, that is so obvious that it's mind-boggling. Okay, that one right there is the one picture that stands out, one photograph that stands out more than all the rest of them. You don't have to look hard. You don't have to squint. You don't have to be told that it's a face on the moon. It's two sets of legs.
Behind three chairs, yeah.
Behind three chairs.
And there's no bodies lining up with them.
Yeah, I mean, they would have to be some awful small midgets with some awful big legs.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, as far as this argument goes, look at the photos, and you'll see how ridiculous the Hawaii-Kenya argument is.
And oh, the long-legged Mag Daddy, they fit real good. I never thought the long-legged Mag Daddy photo.
Yes. All right, Drew, we're out of time. I got to say goodnight, but I want to thank you for being on Evident Footprints. And you will be on the show in August, is that right?
Oh, yeah. And I've got those of you out there that are listening on Wind Talkers Radio Network, yes, I'm going to leave the direct link on my main page to come to bbsradio.com. And listen to other shows on bbsradio.com, as well as I want to do a little promo for my show tomorrow, if you don't mind, Don. I've got a medical team that's going to be on the show tomorrow to bring out a product called Bionade that has been tested as a 100%. Remedy for any disease, specifically flu, and one of the things that is unique about Bionade is that there are nations around the world, specifically Ghana, that are buying this product for their people to help their people boost their immune systems, and I'm going to have, hopefully I'll be able to have my guest host is Scott, and we're going to hopefully get Jane Burgermeister in, and my Friday show is going to be a continuation of standing up against the medical associations that are trying to basically kill us
and
for some form of genocide.
Okay, well, I'm going to listen to that show, and folks, you can get to Drew's show by going to his website. This is a very easy way to do it, amd.elequity.com, and check out Drew's page, webpage. He's got a lot of information there, great information. Drew, thanks for being on the show. I look forward to our next chat, whether it's on your show or mine, and...
My shows are all archived for free, ladies and gentlemen, and you can come and listen to Don. If you ain't getting enough of him out here on BDS, you can come and listen to his archives from my network free of charge at Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. Thank you, Drew.
You're very welcome, and thank you for having me. And I want to specifically thank Jane for calling in. We need more girls like her.
Yes, we do. We need more Americans like her.
She's an American. I mean, I knew that. I mean, but she's a girl, so we got to give her kudos.
Yes.
Okay. Extra
yes.
kudos.
Yes, but she's not just a girl. She's an American.
She's an American girl. Okay.
That's right. Okay, Drew. You be well, and we'll talk soon. Time to say goodnight, folks. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com, and our special guest, Drew Malone Raines III.
Good morning, everybody. God bless.
Yes, and special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound, Blog Talk Radio for carrying the show, as well as Wind Talkers Radio Network and people around the world. I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, or a day, and have a good night.